Welcome to the Hardware Sodom Podcast. In this episode, we're talking about Hackfort 2021 with the director of Hackfort. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Sean Wakely. This last month, Darren and I were presenting at Hackfort 2021, and sadly, Darren could not be on the show this month, but I do have the director of Hackfort, Mr. Sean Wakely.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. And Hackfort this year was in September instead of in March, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, but for some of the listeners that don't know, explain to me, what is Hackfort?
Hackfort is, we like to call it a digital humanities conference. And it's part of the Treefort Music Festival that happens every year, normally in March. It was founded out of this need to kind of pull together technology people, hobbyists, everyone around the culture of technology. We just saw this need for the music festival. A lot of people love music. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of people with careers, and they love the tech side of things. And so when it was founded, Boise State had a big hand in that. A group of people just decided it would be really fun to have a little tech get together during the festival. And selfishly for me, I love music. I was able to actually go to year one. I was a student employee at Boise State for OIT, and we got invited. And I didn't stop going.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. With Hackfort and the Treefort Music Festival, which is the, I'm going to call that the umbrella event, there are other forts, as they call them.
Yeah.
Ale Fort and Yoga Fort are some of the ones that come to mind, but we have several others.
Yeah. You know, and I think the organization's always open to the possibility of other forts and ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, and we want, you know, the headline for Treefort, our motto is Treefort's for everyone. And, you know, even though this year was a little different, you know, with the pandemic and how we have to manage those doing live events again, what I will say is the presence of these communities and all these different people and demographics, all under that big umbrella having fun, we needed it. It's been 2 years, you know, and so it's special. It really is.
If I remember correctly, some of these other forts only run for one day.
Yeah, they might run for a day, they might run for the whole week. It's really kind of up to the director of that fort and what kind of, like Skate Fort, they're usually on like Saturday, I believe. And that's where they have like at the skate park, they have bands playing while people are skating. And they might even have a competition.
Wow, that's cool.
It's actually pretty sweet. I haven't been able to make it to that one. Kid Fort, usually that's on the weekend only. You know, it's for family to bring their kids for free.
Oh, yeah, they're in school otherwise.
Yeah, and then Hack Fort, you know, I usually try to do 2 to 3 days has been like one, or, you know, it just depends on where we're landing for programming. And, I don't want to compete with the music, so you like to cut it off so we can all go out and enjoy some tunes, you know?
Well, and Hackfort itself is probably one of the forts that runs the entire event, aside from Ale Fort, because, you know, beer.
Yeah. We try to have events kind of spread out throughout the whole event. And it just really comes down to what we end up booking, what we need to do. I want to be pretty focused on what makes sense and what programming makes sense. And for me, I also want to keep everybody's attention span during a festival when there's a lot to do, right?
Right.
And so that's always a balancing act.
I've been to CES several times over the years, and I've said many times how there are so many exhibits and so many people presenting at CES that it's impossible to see every single thing. So you have to pick and choose. And even at a small event like Treefort, it really comes down to, well, what do I want to see and when do I want to see it?
I remember like the first few years at Treefort, I was like, I planned it out. I'm going to go to this band. I'm going to go to this thing. And like, I gave up like year two. I was like, nah, that's like impossible.
Well, you have concerts that go on for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Give or take. And yeah, I mean, you can go to concert back to back to back, but eventually somebody has to go to sleep. So,
yeah, I've found to just go with the wind. You know, when I'm done with Hackfort, when we're done running our event, everyone's like, "What show are you going to?" And I'm like, "I'm going to walk in a direction and find music that sounds interesting."
You know, that is actually the best way to discover stuff.
Yeah, and you do a lot of that.
At Hackfort, I was there 2019. That was the first year you guys invited me.
Yeah,
and we did a talk, which I felt didn't go very well, but I've heard through the whisperings that I probably had the highest attendance out of all of the events, which
You guys really, again, I didn't ask a lot from you, but for what I'm trying to do with Hackfort, which is I'm not just trying to cater to the hardcore nerds, the hardcore, you know, people who might work in the industry. I want to bring people in that are interested and are maybe don't have a place in Boise to ask questions about how to build a high-end gaming PC or what is overclocking or how does it work? You know, you guys were a perfect fit for that, you know, and I mean, I got great feedback from that.
Well, and we had fun with that, even though it was a bit unorganized, I think is the best way I could put it. But then we were on the expo floor for an hour and a half after that. And I want to say the entire atmosphere was a buzz. There was people all over the place walking around and checking out stuff. And it was nonstop questions at my booth, which was pretty darn awesome. And I started to look forward to 2020. But with the whole global pandemic shutdown situation that we like to talk about, the show got first postponed and then canceled and rescheduled. And then I think it got rescheduled directly to September of 2021.
Yeah, so we had to, you know, we had to cancel 2020. That was tough. I mean, honestly, Mike and I, we talk about it all the time. Like, there's this festival that I planned that never happened. You know?
Well,
and so it's like, in my head, though, it's there. It's in my imagination somewhere. But, you know, that was hard, but it was hard for everyone, right? And obviously, events were one of the industries that just got crippled by this. I mean, Treefort as an organization, it was really difficult. But it was the right thing to do.
If you kind of have to keep people separated, getting them together for an event is probably the wrong venue anyway. So it was good. And I want to say that the new venue this year for 2021, it went pretty well. Although the show floor wasn't really a buzz like it was before. And I was kind of expecting that. And I kind of wanted to talk about some of the challenges of running a festival during the current times.
There is so much you need to think about when you're running an event as big as Treefort. You know, a normal attendance is anywhere from 25 to 30,000 people over 5 days. And so with the pandemic, there's just, it's not that we were told to do things a certain way, but for us to retain our, you know, integrity as an organization and to like, and we're always all about doing the right thing for the community and the right thing for the people. We had to take huge steps this year to follow through with it. And of course we postponed to September. It's funny because in hindsight, I feel like if we did March, the pandemic, the COVID numbers in Idaho were nowhere near as high as they are now. This was a peak. We ran an event during a peak, and and the one thing that was really kind of amazing about all that is we, our leadership team just kept going to the city, kept going to the hospitals, kept going to the Central District of Health, asking for feedback. And they never told us, this is how you need to run an event. We presented to them, what do you guys think? And they were like, you got, this is amazing. You're going way above and beyond, you know? And so what we had to do ultimately was limit ticket sales. We had to require a vaccination card or do a COVID test on site or have the opportunity to get vaccinations as well, which is something we did end up doing to like 70 something people, I think. But, you know, that combined, you know, we were worried about getting pushback, which we did, you know, and there was a lot of things. But when it all came down to it, when it came down to the week, it happened, right? And I have to say it felt like Treefort. It was really fun. By design, we were down, you know, and part, you know, Hackfort, it's funny you bring up the space, you know, we were in Boise Center West, which is like the largest conference hall they have. Not intentional because we had to move. It was the only space I could get. I wish I could have like kind of compressed it a little more, or, you know, used less space. But at the same time, with the pandemic and social distancing, it was like, all right, well, we'll just kind of have to.
Sometimes, you know, bigger is better, but it does make it hard to find things. Like Darren and I were setting up and we had a family come up and ask us where a certain event was that was getting ready to start. And I'm like, I don't really have a map, but he knows.
Yeah.
And went and pointed at somebody.
We had, we had like a volunteer pretty much manning the door to talk to everybody who comes in because of that. Because again, big space, not really organized as well as I would have liked, but.
Well, in terms of turnout, though, Do you think everybody that bought a ticket showed up? Because I know that it was sold out.
Yeah, so sold out is kind of a... It's more like we stopped selling tickets, if gotcha. That makes sense.
Yep.
But we had to cap it. And, you know, I think our overall number for Treefort was over 15,000. Mm-hmm. And... Again, you know, it was probably the lowest attendance I've ever had at a Hackfort for sure. But, you know, that being said, the every speaker I talked to, and you know, surprisingly, that lockpicking workshop, I don't know if you saw that was packed.
Yeah,
both days.
lockpicking is one of those mechanical things that intrigues people. I mean, it's like, yeah, every kid that went there probably went home and tried to pick their front door at that point. So it's like, once you understand how locks work, you can kind of figure out the rest of it. But it's more or less, you need an expert to kind of tell you what's going on. I didn't get to see the presentation, but I'm assuming that he did the standard locksmith thing where I'm going to tell you just enough before you get into my realm.
Yeah, and it was cool because we, you know, part of the reason I had that event was, again, with Hackfort, I'm really trying to bring all these different communities together. Mm-hmm. And one of them that I've been trying to get in the door for a while has been the local InfoSec group here in Boise, B-Sides Boise, you mm-hmm. know, and their local security meetup group. They all work in IT and security roles. Yeah. They go to DEF CON. You mm-hmm. know, I finally got a hold of a few people and just said, hey, guys, I really want to have some workshops because they're used to doing this anyways. And yep. they jumped on it. And lockpicking was the one I said I would love because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people that are new to the tech world, or they heard that we're hackers and all these things. The reality is real hackers, all of that starts at physical infrastructure mm-hmm. and social engineering. Right. And I think most people wouldn't know that real hardcore hackers as a hobby, they do lockpicking. Like this group, they meet up and drink beer and pick locks, you know? And so they, you know, they came in and I was able to get a professional locksmith who through a friend who also came mm-hmm. and then make, you know, and then same thing, you know, it's real simple. But I had a coworker that I work with come to me and say, dude, I was at your workshop. It was awesome. I ordered a lockpick set, you know? And I'm like, that is so cool. Like, yeah. you know, and.
Well, and there's a famous, well, I'm going to call him famous, guy on YouTube, the lockpicking lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
And
no,
it's like,
he's good.
It's like 2 minute long videos and you end up engaged and watching the entire thing. And he's just, you know.
It's always great when he's like, wow, I can't actually pick this. He's like, well, this will break it though. And he just like, he always gets into it somehow.
Yeah, it's like, well, this safe I'm going to open with a saw. Well, duh, you can open any safe with a saw because, yeah. So in terms of challenges, we kind of discussed what it was. Now, out of that, what do you think was like three triumphs of the event aside from we had it?
You know, obviously the overall challenges was just running a safe event. Mm-hmm. And the triumph for me, oh God, three triumphs. Well
you don't have
first
to.
One. Yeah, but first one really would be that it just felt like Treefort. Mm-hmm. And even though we had less people, it almost felt more special than other Treeforts because we didn't get a run for 2 years. I didn't even realize how much I needed that as a director. You know, I'd almost forgotten some of the magic that the event is, and it's about bringing people together. Mm-hmm. And especially with a pandemic, yeah. those aren't two words you don't usually hear. So that was a huge win.
Well, and I imagine the people that would go to the event during this time are really the ones that are passionate about going.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think with our safety stuff, it really worked. You know, we got a lot of praise. I mean, the other big thing is we were so nervous. Is this going to work? You know, requiring vaccination cards? Are people going to beat us up? You know, and as it turns out, the festival goers were so supportive of it that they were policing themselves. They were, mm-hmm. you know, and we got some great, sweet letters from doctors, from people from the hospital thanking us, you know, and that was a huge win, not just for me at, you know, at Hackfort, but for, you know, the organization as a whole. You know, for me, any time I bring someone to Hackfort as a speaker, or I meet someone at Hackfort that's never been, that gives me, you know, that thanks me for running the event, to me, that's the win. And this year I got several of those, you know, and I want everyone to have fun. Did mm-hmm. You guys have fun?
Yeah, I had fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was a bit of a whirlwind. I elected this year to just be on the expo floor, but I dedicated the entire day.
Yeah.
And
You got a lot of cool stuff.
Well, and we had a lot of cool stuff on display. And I figured that since the numbers were going to be down, I wanted to show a little bit more, you know, since I was going to be there all day, you know.
Yeah.
So we had the liquid nitrogen overclocking and on a special rig with SLI, which is something that you can't do on a modern PC anymore.
Yeah.
NVIDIA killed it.
Yeah, pretty much dead.
And then I had a retro project that I was working on, which was basically make an SSD look like an old MFM hard drive out of an IBM XT. Everyone thought that that was just kind of an amazing little project. I'm like, this is just a hard drive enclosure, but it's special. It's something that actually nobody really knew to do because they didn't think they needed it. In some cases, you don't.
Yeah, it feels that. No, that thing was cool. I mean, again, it fills a niche for someone though, because spinning drives are, especially old spinning drives, very obsolete. So having a way to convert to like an SSD, someone out there is gonna be like, I need that. I want that. You know,
when you're working with retro computers, the most painful part of it is not necessarily how slow the computer is, but how slow it is to get something off of a drive, and you can't speed up a floppy drive, and you have to have those just because. And with an optical drive, you are somewhat limited. You can't really load an OS off a CD-ROM. So you need to have a bit of a hard drive there. Well, ID rotational hard drives, true ID hard drives, are really hard to find. They're kind of expensive, and most of them are broken just because they're mechanical, and they break down. That's what they do. And then if you use a period correct drive, like an MFM hard drive, one of the large 5 1/4, either half or full height, you know, the weigh like 5 pounds each, those are really difficult to find. And when you do find them, people are really proud that they have one that works. The best way is to try and bridge the gap. Say, well, I have an interface. How can I adapt modern storage methods to that? So the project that I created was basically 3D printing a shell that I drew in AutoCAD and then mounted it in a 3.5-inch adapter for a 5 1/4 bay. And then it had a faceplate on it with a little blinking LED light that I wired into.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Wired that into an IDE to SATA adapter and then modded it all into the plastic that I 3D printed and basically plug in an SSD. So if the machine has an IDE interface, you just plug it in and the light will blink when it accesses the drive, and it makes it look like
a
period correct hard drive.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And then to support that project, we brought in a 3D printer, and Darren brought in his computer to kind of show off custom builds.
Yeah, you guys printed me an awesome Hardware Asylum piece.
Yeah, a little desktop piece.
Yeah, I've got it right in my computer room now.
No, that's awesome. And overall, it was kind of cohesive because the 3D printing matched with one of the exhibits or the presenters that was talking about 3D printing. They all thought that I was that person, but it's like, no, we're just showing off 3D printing. I guess the one annoyance, which I shouldn't say is an annoyance, about every third person asked if I would fix their computer.
Ha!
And it's like, you know, we're not here to sell anything. We're just here to promote the website. Yeah. Can you help me with this old Mac? And it's like, no, I cannot. But you can come to the website and read about new hardware that you can go and put into your computer. And
totally.
But then I did also find out that I had a deficiency in what I was presenting on my website, for instance. You know, people were interested in some of the how-tos and some of the articles around how to do certain things that I was showing off.
Yeah. And overclocking. Yeah. The liquid nitrogen overclocking for sure.
Well, and that's more really difficult to talk about. But
it's like hard to talk about, hard to do.
But it's amazing to watch. And that's one reason that we had that there. So overall, I mean, it was fun to present, even though there wasn't a lot of people there. And I guess we had prime real estate too, because we were right out in front.
Yeah. You know, and as hard as I tried building up to this event, you know, we still probably had, I would say like 20% of the people that said they wanted to do it in September cancel, you know, so we lost like half the expo vendors. And it's fine. You know, you just have to roll the punches. You know, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm mad at you because you're not going to our event. Cause you know, it's a pandemic. We have to make it safe. We have to respect other people's beliefs and what makes them comfortable. And, you know, and that's, hopefully it's not going to be forever, but it is a new, you know, the other big takeaway, I guess, is from this event was there was so much uncertainty, right? And now that we've executed, and at least we've executed in a way that we know works, the next event's only going to go that much better. You know, there's always going to be tweaking, but we know it works. We know what we did works, and people seem to work with it, you know? And so come March, which we've got 6 months. You know, it could be different. You know, I hope mask mandates might drop again by then. I totally wear masks everywhere. I totally get it. But I personally, wearing a mask all day is rough on your face.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And, you know, and sadly, the pandemic, the reason that it started has really become, it's not going to go away. It's going to be with us for a while. So it's a matter of, well, what is the comfort level that we can attain?
Yeah.
And what's going to, you know, how are we going to maintain that as a society and blah, blah, blah. And we're talking philosophy here. So
Yeah. I'm excited to have you guys back. Hopefully we can come up with something cool for March.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of, Darren and I even started brainstorming some stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Be prepared.
I'm excited. We'll try to start those conversations sooner than later. Cause I don't want to be rushed this time around.
Oh yeah. Well, I had a couple of other questions that I throw at you while we're wrapping up here. You had already talked about how you got interested in Treefort itself and how you went to Treefort 1 or Hackfort 1. Mm-hmm. What really got you interested in wanting to go to that event?
You know, I'm one of those people that I always had this interest in technology. You know, I grew up around it and, you know, I was already going to school as... you know, going back to school, actually. I'd gotten a degree in business, but I went back to school because I went, you know, I really need to focus more on this IT stuff, you know. And so while I was doing that, I got a job working for OIT, which is the Office of Information Technology at Boise State. I was doing programming. I was doing a whole bunch of stuff. And you know, them getting involved in Treefort and Hackfort really gave me this avenue to you know, like I didn't know what it was. They just said, hey, we're helping with this tech conference. Here's a free wristband at Treefort, which I'm like, I love music. I get to get out of work and go, yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's go.
You know, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I really have this knack and calling for bringing people together to geek out, you know, and my big draw to that is I love hearing people's entrepreneurial story. I love hearing innovators and new ideas. Hackfort gives this amazing, you know, platform for me to not only reach from the Boise community, but bring people from outside of Boise into town. And once I went the one time, I just couldn't stop. I loved Treefort too, because I love music. I really love music.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like this win-win where I get to be a nerd, but I also get to go rock out at night with my friends, you know, and I was able, you know, I just kept showing up. And that, you know, it's like anything. If you really care about something, you got to show people you're committed. You got to show up. And I volunteered the first couple, you know, I think I went to the first two. I actually met the first director because she had a technical issue and I ended up helping her
nice.
With a router. And then I just kept showing up and then I started to volunteer. I realized you could volunteer. And the director at the time, Janessa, I did one really fun hack court with her. And then she told me she couldn't do it anymore because her startup was blowing up. And so
she got successful now.
Yeah, no. And again, it's happened. I think the previous two directors, they ended up doing something bigger and greater. Right. Mm-hmm. And so she asked me if I'd want to do it. And I was like, well, I can't say no, you know, and of course I had my day job, you know, working for Ednetics, which is an IT integration company. Mm-hmm. And I was an engineer in sales, and luckily they've been really supportive and given me a lot of freedom to do Hackfort in my free time outside of work. And they're flexible, you know, things come up where I'm like, hey, I got to do this thing for Treefort. Yeah. They're like, don't worry about it. You know?
And that's the nice thing about
certain
companies that they will allow you to go and.
I mean, you can call it career development or professional development. I mean, I get way more leadership skills out of, you know, Hackfort than I do in my day job just because that's the type of role I'm in, right? And
As they say, you only know what you know. So say Sean came up and talked to you. I would like you to present at Hackfort. What do you suppose your talk would be about?
You know, I've always been a sucker for kind of the, you know, the entrepreneurial story or like the dream story, you know, following, building a business. For me, I think I would really try to build a talk around the benefits of technology, but also like where technology has its end when it comes to fixing things in our society. You know, I would love to tell, you know, through the lens of my life and my experience of, you know, I had parents that were very, very good about preaching compassion to other people, especially people you don't know growing up. Mm-hmm. I would love to show people that through never judging others and really trying to get to know people, it brought me, you know, I'm on the Hackfort stage now, but, you know, sharing that story, but also kind of talking about, I've worked with like Reclaim Idaho and organizations that a lot of people are like, how did you use technology to do these things? We're like, well, we did, but not in the way you think you did, you know, and technology is this amazing tool to help you solve problems, but it also, in the end, the human element is so important, you know, and mm-hmm. I want to like reiterate like things like Hackfort and all these things. In the end, it is about people, you know, and
well, you know, and there's always this big fear that robots will go and replace us, right?
We're going to get,
Well, and
someone has to repair the robot though, right?
Somebody would have to repair the robot, but that really turns into a job that took 10 people now takes two to maintain it. And the way I see it, there is certain ways that technology can better society, and there are certain ways that technology can make it worse.
Totally.
And it's finding the balance between the two.
Yeah, I think balance, that's key. And that's something I've really tried to preach in my life. Balance, you know, it's sometimes you feel like you're out of balance for sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, the final question I have here is kind of, we've talked about it a little bit, but what do you think the future of Hackfort would be? Do you kind of like the way that it is right now, or do you have kind of a vision for what it could be?
I 100%. I mean, I could probably talk for an hour about this topic, but you know, I'm always thinking about what can we do different? What can we add? Who can I pull in? You know, it's kind of funny because I'm always thinking about it. Hmm. And people are like, what are you doing right now? I'm like, I'm thinking about this person I want to come have speak at Hackfort. But you know, for me, you know, I'm at a point where Hackfort really can't be much bigger than it is just because of how it's currently set. You know, I have a full-time job.
Yeah.
I do this part-time, total labor of love. Most of the time it's like 6-7 months of planning goes into this thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I have Mike Taylor, one of my best friends, you know, and he and I both have jobs, you know, and we just have to be realistic about how big we can make the thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, the goal and the dream, and Mike and I have been slowly doing this, is I would love to see Hackfort, you know, really blossom to the point where it is it almost its complete own organization and entity with staff and everything, right? We just got to build to that. And, you know, Treefort, I think, is at a crossroads in general. You know, this was Treefort 9. Mm-hmm. Next year is going to be Treefort 10. I think 10 is going to be a big year. You know, we just announced our first official venue. I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-mm. I didn't hear that one yet.
That was big news. It kind of slipped under the radar, I think, compared to the other stuff going on. But we Treefort as an organization is building a venue right downtown in Bodo and Boise, right off 8th Street, where the old Office Depot was.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know that place.
We're renovating that entire space. It's going to have a rooftop bar. It's going to have a state-of-the-art sound system. We have like one of the best sound engineers, like period, working on building this new venue. So the cool thing about that is it's going to allow Treefort to be a year-round in a way where we can have events. Duck Club, which is the kind of subsidiary company of Treefort that puts on all these local shows year round, you know, we'll obviously be still doing the same thing. We'll have this permanent venue though, and that will afford Hackfort to do more events throughout the year, you know, and what I really envision is getting to the point where, you know, I could potentially make a living. You know, I want Hackfort to be, you know, an educational platform, but also just a community driven platform. I want to have fun events year round, like the LAN parties, meet and greets, you know, Hackfort happy hour, which we haven't been able to bring back, you know, but I think I will try to bring back, before next March. But you know, if I had that opportunity, you know, that's where I would grow it, you know, and we also did Hackfort Live during the pandemic, and Mike and I have kind of put brakes on that just because we had to plan two events so closely. but we might do a couple, you know, and we were inspired by you guys. I mean, we literally were like, Dennis and Darren do a podcast. We should do it. You know, of course, we make ours live, which is totally insane, but, you know,
it's a bit different.
It's a lot more work.
Yeah, it is. And that Darren and I tried to figure out ways to expand the podcast. Mm-hmm. And really, it's just kind of for what it is that we do, this is kind of the perfect venue.
Sure.
The one time that we did try to do a live broadcast, it ended up taking a lot longer than it was supposed to because, you know, distractions.
It's totally one of those things where you got to be like on it, especially if you're interviewing someone live. Ooh. I don't know. I mean, again, careful what you wish for, I guess is like yeah.
Well, that one time you guys had me on your live show, I kind of planned ahead because I figured, well, what are they going to ask me?
No, you did good. You brought stuff. You came prepared and you asked us good questions.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of something that I do.
We were kind of, again, new to it, right? I've learned a lot, but, you know, and just to seal up, you know, the future of Hackfort, you know, I see the potential for it to be the largest tech event in Idaho. There's not really a lot, you know, that's like us, mm-hmm. but I see the opportunity to make an event that's a celebration of the technology community at large and mm-hmm. a way to educate. And then also, you know, hasn't really come that much, but like bring business into it, have events that are, you know, around that. It's potential to be there. I get asked a lot for that, even though I try to avoid it, but.
Well, you know. And everybody has something to promote. Most of the experts that you could have are, you know, business owners and they say, yeah, I'm an expert. This is my business. And when they come there, they kind of promote their business as well as talking about stuff. And personally, I think when you involve business into that, it kind of muddles the message.
Sure.
But,
I like it when people are at our event outside of work. In a way, you know, it's like, I'm not doing this on the behalf of, you know,
well, and you know, and I'm actually guilty of that too. Cause when I go, I'm promoting Hardware Asylum. I'm promoting my website. I just really want people to come out and check out the site, check out the podcast, view the few videos that I put out on YouTube and ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, kind of to build a community around that. But some people don't quite understand what it is that I do. So it confuses the message.
It's hard. You know, that's everything. You know, Mike and I, again, building community outside of Hackfort. That's why we tried doing a live show too and building an online community. You know, it can go both ways. Mm-hmm. Some people build their online community and then do a live event, or you can do a live event and then build an online community, you know, and, you know, I'm a big fan of Linus Media Group. I don't know if you knew this, I got the opportunity to volunteer at LTX.
Oh, no, you didn't mention that, but that's a big Canadian tech thing that he brings a lot of people in.
Well, I mean, again, it's very similar to Hackfort and how they set it up and they run it. Mm-hmm. And I went up there before the pandemic started. It was that summer. I went to Vancouver and I got to volunteer and I got to meet most of the team. And it was really inspiring. And, you know, the funny thing is they have no idea what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They told me, they're like, we are freaking winging this thing. And because they don't know how to put on big events, they know how to make online videos. And mm-hmm. so the funny thing is it was like their third year doing it and they were sold out. There's like 5,000 people over the weekend. And, you know, they had all the big gaming vendors there and stuff. But it was just funny talking to the staff, like how it was going, because they were just like, oh, yeah, we're just totally winging this thing. They're like, we're actually going to hire someone next year to help us run this. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. And,
yeah. Well, it's I've met some of those guys at after parties during CES. Yeah. And you can tell that they really are just entertainers. They just all they care about is doing video stuff and trying to make them entertaining, which is that's good for somebody that lives on YouTube. But when you're trying to talk to a technical person about a technical subject and you don't know what you're talking about,
they have a couple people on their staff that definitely are. But otherwise, you know, again, they're a media company that makes videos, I think, first and foremost, that happens to make their videos about tech stuff. You know, like that's kind of the best way to look at them. But they're nerdy. I had a lot of fun meeting that team.
That's awesome. I wanted to thank you again for coming on the podcast, and hopefully we'll have you again soon. For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes at hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2021. Thanks for listening.